Hello, I'm Beth Kesselman, and this is Smashing the Ceiling, a podcast on social hiring and a St. Stephen's Community House production. Thanks for joining us. St. Stephen's Community House acknowledges that our locations are situated upon traditional territories of the Wendat, Anishinaabeg Nation, the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, the Mississaugas of the New Credit First Nations, and the Métis Nation. The treaty that was signed for this particular parcel of land is collectively referred to as the Toronto Purchase and applies to lands east of Brown's Line to Woodbine Avenue and north towards Newmarket. St. Stephen's Community House is a guest, and we recognize the enduring presence of the Indigenous peoples on this land. Welcome to the very first episode of Smashing the Ceiling, a podcast on social hiring. And regardless if you're listening in because you have an interest in broadening your hiring practices or are looking to build on your corporate citizenship, maybe you want to increase and foster diversity and inclusion in your organization, or perhaps you're a person who feels, just as I do, that doing good is good for business. I'm glad that you're here, and I hope that you continue to join us as we explore issues in hiring practices, finding ways to incorporate community engagement and social responsibility into our business processes and systems, and of course, upcoming changes in Canadian labor law. So without further ado, let's dig in.
What is social hiring?
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 I would be remiss if in this first episode we didn't talk about what social hiring actually is. Because if you Google social hiring, you'll find a lot of material about using social media to source candidates, so you can find your next big superstar. And while we're not talking about social media in this context, you may find your next big superstar through social hiring. Thankfully, we have someone close by who's an expert in this area to help us with this definition.
My name is Kim Patel, and I work at St. Stephen's Community House. I'm the director of our Employment and Training Center.
Kim has over 19 years of experience in employment services and has worked in nearly every role from frontline to senior management, so I think it's safe to say that she's an expert in this field. And when I stopped and asked her what her definition of social hiring was, she had a really interesting response because it interceded in the hiring process itself. When you're looking at a candidate, to stop and think and sort of go from there.
So social hiring to us at St. Stephen's really comes down to a basic philosophy or concept, is that everybody has the right to have meaningful activity in their life. And for us, that meaningful activity can be many different things, but if somebody wants to have an opportunity to contribute to the labor market and participate in the labor market, then there is a job for them. Employers are often need some help and some support to figure out what that opportunity is, whether it's a traditional job that they've always had, or maybe it's a part of a job that nobody has time for or nobody likes to do, but one of our participants could really excel at it. And we call that job carving. But really, it's looking at a participant or a job seeker and their potential, and showing them their potential and giving them an opportunity. Somebody that you wouldn't traditionally hire necessarily, but they have a lot to contribute.
Kim's vision of social hiring is really poignant because it requires no forethought. When most organizations put forward a corporate citizenship or social responsibility plan, there's a lot of research and planning and execution that goes on for months and months or years and years before something's actually actualized. But in this situation, you don't need to do a lot of planning. The only thing you need in the moment is good intentions, so that when someone is sitting across from you and you're looking at them going, "Should I hire you?" That's the moment you can begin a social responsibility program, and you don't have to have done anything else prior to that. It doesn't have to be difficult, it doesn't have to be complicated, and it doesn't have to be a very large, convoluted schematic. It can be simple, it can be straightforward, and it's something that can happen on a regular basis. To gain a better and broader understanding of what social hiring is, we also have to take a look at why people don't get hired. In the community and social services sector, we call things that prevent people from finding employment barriers to employment. And thankfully, I was able to ask Kim about this as well.
Barriers to me means that folks that are struggling to get into the labor market or to re-enter the labor market. So either it's their perception that they lack the skills and they don't have the confidence to say that they bring something to the table for an employer, or an employer has a perception of them of not being able to contribute to their business. And often it's, I'd say most of the time, it's a misperception that folks just need an opportunity. And often our traditional way of looking at people and asking them questions in an interview is a disservice to a lot of folks.
Like Kim said, a lot of it comes down to perception. Whether it be from the applicant sitting there and going, I don't know if I'm the perfect fit, so they get nervous and bomb a part of the interview, or you as the interviewer looking at that person going, I don't know, do I really want to hire you? In a day and age where we can put an ad up on the internet and get hundreds of applicants a day even, it's really easy to feel committed to sifting through it all to find the perfect person. That perfect candidate who can do it all, with all the education, who speaks 8 languages and is twice as fast as everyone else and who's willing to take half the salary. But the thing is that that perfect person, that perfect candidate, just doesn't exist. So no matter what you do, you're not going to find them. And so having a socially minded business practice when hiring can do you a real service, because it'll cut down on the time it takes to fill the role and increase productivity as soon as that person's in it. So it saves you business time, effort, energy, and can be a really good practice by looking at the person in front of you and saying, I can see value in you. I can see how you can fit in my business. And on the greater scheme of things, it also impacts the community as a whole. So on both sides of that coin, it's going to benefit you. Whether you as an individual citizen living in the community, or you as a business person making your business more productive in a shorter period of time. And to give you a sense of exactly how costly it is for a business to leave a position vacant, the Conference Board of Canada had a really interesting statistic up just this past May, where they said that the average amount of time that it takes a vacant position in Canada to be filled is 60 days and costs the business approximately $5,000 to fill. And that is valid as of 2016. And that's really saying something. I don't know how you feel when you hear that statistic, but when I first read it, I was floored, especially when you think about how that number is going to increase as your business needs do as well, and you're filling not only 2 roles, but now you're filling 5, and now you're filling 10. That's a considerable amount of money. And it's also a completely avoidable business expense, and you can do so just by opening up your candidate pool and considering applicants who you may have passed over before a little bit harder. Once upon a time, if I couldn't find the right candidate, I would rewrite the job posting and send it out again. And guess what? I would still get many of the same candidates. The Government of Ontario reported that 60% of Canadian employers have trouble finding qualified employees. So why? Why do we pass by potentially good, if not great, candidates for every reason we can possibly think of? It's closely linked to something I said before. We get hundreds of applicants. And when that happens, we search for the very best person we can find on paper. And that means a negative screening process. Nope, nope, nope. This person doesn't have enough education, or not as much as the next person, I should say. And this person has too much education. And this person has had too many short-term jobs. And this person had too much experience, or not enough experience. And this person has a 2-year gap. This person has a spelling error on the last sentence of their resume. Whatever reason we can think of to turn someone away makes it easier for us in screening who we feel we should interview and who we feel we should not. And this is where most businesses lose out on diversity and inclusion in social hiring opportunities. The person with too much education has incredible research skills and is looking to settle into an organization for years to come. The person with a gap in their work history could be recently recovered from an illness. The person with a spelling error also happens to speak 3 languages and English is their 3rd. What a missed opportunity in every single case. And so how do you avoid this loss? This loss in diversity, this loss in creativity, the loss in customer service, the loss in the general business expense that it takes to fill the position, and the loss in potentially doing other things in your business that weren't included in that role that you could have creatively filled through social hiring. How do we avoid this? And the answer is, by getting a little bit creative and going against the stream of human resource processes that we already have in place potentially. Our applicant tracking systems and our human resource information systems all work towards screening people out. And so when you're working on screening someone in, it's just a very different way to think and a very different process. And so to open up our minds and our eyes to the new process that we're incorporating, it's something that we may have to put aside for a little bit. So we may end up rocking the boat just a wee bit as we get things set up until you can find those first few candidates where you onboard them and can see this person is an active contributor to my organization and it's worth doing again. Another process that you may want to reconsider in your business is interviewing. And I know that sounds absolutely ridiculous. Who doesn't interview? Why wouldn't you interview someone? But the fact is that interviewing isn't necessarily the best form of screening, and it can really be intimidating for candidates who aren't used to interviewing on a regular basis or are living with a disability, as 1 in 10 Canadians lives with a disability right now, or those of working age. And so it's something to consider as something that's possibly preventing you from a potentially good hire with your socially minded business model. Just something to keep in mind. But there are lots of businesses out there who create innovative and creative ways to engage with potential candidates where they're not screening them out, but screening them in. And actually, Kim had some thoughts on this as well.
And I think that we get bogged down with traditional ways of doing things, right? Really, if you want to test out somebody at a workplace, they should just work for a week, right? Interviews, I think every employer you ask, you could say they've interviewed people and they wow them in an interview. They started and you go, oh my goodness, who's the person I interviewed, right? So interviews, are they really the right way? Are they really... maybe not right is the right word. Are they really the best way to gauge whether someone will fit into your workplace? Because we can teach people how to use equipment, how to use a photocopier, right? Or whatever the tasks are. But can we teach people? We have to connect with their values. They have to connect with our values, need to connect with them. Our philosophy of doing business there has to be that connection, or it's not going to work. And the only way I see that truly checking it is having the person with integrated into your work environment. Then you'll see if they fit in. You can ask all the questions you want about values and philosophy, and someone who's done their research will just give you what's on your website. Right? But you don't really see what those values are, whether they match, until you see them in action. And dealing with customers, your team members, that kind of thing.
Kim makes a really excellent point here. You might go through your entire traditional hiring process, putting out the job posting, spending time sifting through all those hundreds of resumes, doing a phone screen, and doing interview 1, and interview 2, and interview 3. Then we can't forget the background check and the reference checks, and it's all really time consuming. And after all that, you still might end up with a newly onboarded employee who leaves just after a few months, or a few weeks, or even a few days. And it's really hard to know if someone's going to be a good match for your team unless they're there working by your side for a little bit. Interviewing is a skill. Some people have a natural talent for it and have an innate ability to sell themselves. Some people build the skill over time. But there's a large proportion of potential employees out there who are perfectly able to work and do the job well and really well, who will get in front of you or a panel and just not say that right thing, who will always be the B or the C candidate, or don't make it through the phone screen. And that isn't because they would be a bad employee. It's just that even though they can do the job, selling themselves isn't a skill that is as well developed as others that they have. But they might be better at the job. They might be the better fit. They might be the person who stays longer, but you won't have the opportunity to find out because that is the way that many business models work right now. They work with that traditional hiring scheme that works to essentially prevent that person where interviewing isn't their top skill from being a part of their team. By going against the grain a little bit and opening your business up to different hiring practices, you're doing more than just increasing your candidate pool and increasing your opportunity for diversity. You're also increasing your accessibility level, and this is really important. Statistics Canada released research which shows that in organizations that have accessible employment practices, employee retention was 72% higher among people with disabilities. This is an incredible statistic. A candidate living with a disability might have a gap in their resume, or may not be your best interview, and it can be easy to have a perception that the individual can't do the job, but this may just not be the case at all. Statistics Canada also estimated that there are over 400,000 Canadians living with disabilities capable of working, almost half of whom have graduated from post-secondary education. And when you think about this, and you think about the expense that comes with having a vacant position that you want to fill, that $5,000 again, that 60 days of vacancy where you're searching for and screening and filling the role, it can have a huge impact on your bottom line just to become more accessible, to become more socially minded, and to look at hiring with a different eye. And that's a really exciting business opportunity that anyone can take advantage of. But you don't have to believe me. You can join us next time as we talk to different business owners about their social hiring practices and the benefits that they've seen directly in their businesses. And I hope that it illustrates that social hiring isn't just something that really goody-two-shoe people do. It's something that's a sustainable business practice that you can incorporate into your business and your corporate social responsibility strategy. We're not asking you to totally change your hiring practices overnight. We're not asking you to do all of your hiring through social hiring. But what we're asking is that you give it a chance, because there's nothing to lose and a lot to gain. This first episode has been a little bit preachy. Absolutely. I can't deny that. But we wouldn't be asking you to explore different business practices if we didn't truly, madly, and deeply believe that it had a business benefit as well, in addition to the greater social good and benefit that it has for people. There's no doubt that giving someone an opportunity to work who may not have been given that opportunity before might offer that person socioeconomic mobility that they previously would not have ever had. That's kind of a big deal. It'll have repercussions for their whole family and an impact on the community as a greater whole as well, possibly. And that's something that's kind of incredible when you think that it's just one business practice that made that change. It has a cascade effect on the larger community, and that should be something which your organization is proud to participate in. This isn't about hiring someone because you take pity on them. And it's not about hiring someone who doesn't have the ability to do the job. It's not about that at all. It's about increasing diversity, increasing accessibility, increasing community engagement, and finding an opportunity for someone where there was none before. That's it. The candidates that are often passed over through our processes and procedures that we have in place, through applicant tracking systems and the streamlining of processes, are often excellent candidates. They have skills, abilities, and are motivated, reliable, and dependable. In fact, I think Kim said this best.
We aren't looking for a handout. We're not charity cases. We really, our job seekers really do have things and abilities that are astounding.
And when you think about it, if this wasn't worth doing, if this business model didn't provide success, then places with employment programs wouldn't have them. The employment component just wouldn't exist. But there are hundreds of employment programs all over Canada. And the people who take part in the employment programs are normal people. They're our friends, they're our family, they're our neighbors, and they're everyone who you see walking down the street. They're the people that we hire and the people who are part of all of our communities. And so no matter if you're going to make a decision in the moment and hire someone who you maybe wouldn't have before, or maybe you're going to reach out to a community agency to help you with this new business practice, no matter what you do, I don't think you're going to regret it, and I think you're going to be very pleased with your decision to give it a shot. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you'll listen in again next month when we talk to different business owners about their practices and also about the upcoming possible changes in minimum wage. St. Stephen's Community House would like to thank United Way, as well as the Ministry of Advanced Education and Skills Development and Employment Ontario, for their ongoing support in this project. We would like to acknowledge Monk Turner for allowing us to use Judicious Jason for our intro and exit music, as well as Satunium for the percussive loop.